Yes, I think we all want to have access to that game. And especially me, because that would be so relevant to the service learning trips that we do and the one that I'm sharing with you today. So I'm Sonda Opawal, and I think I better stand up or I might fall asleep. And I have no relationships to disclose. For the past 12 months or previous to that. And what my talk is today is really focusing on a service learning trip that was interdisciplinary in nature. And the purpose was to explore the social determinants of health. So that's our primary objective, is for me to describe that to you and answer your questions in the event that you would like to develop one with your partners. And then second, to also include how academic community partnerships can foster student interest in social justice. So just out of curiosity, how many of you have conducted service learning trips before with your students? Oh, great. So you all will have a lot to say, hopefully, as well, and add to this. I think most of us in the room, this is usually preaching to the choir, but service learning is a structured experience that does combine community service with preparation and reflection. For those of us who teach nursing or any other health profession discipline, we do a lot of clinical. So in many ways, we already have our students out in the field, hopefully responding to the needs as their clients tell them they have them, and we work with them to get that early on. This trip, though, was really a little bit more in, so that continuum between learning and experience is a little bit more in the center, was our goal. And we really wanted the students to work together with other disciplines, which is something, I don't know about your school, but in our school we, you know, tout the importance of that, but in the reality we really don't offer very many opportunities. So we really wanted to give them an interdisciplinary opportunity as well. But you certainly also want to make sure that your students are responding to those needs as identified by their partners and the community members that they work with, and make those connections with what they're learning and the role of being a good citizen. So at UNC Chapel Hill, we have had several interdisciplinary service learning trips. We had initially, this started as a spring break trip in response to Hurricane Katrina. We wanted to provide some kind of disaster response, and it made sense for us to do that over spring break, when faculty had the chance to actually go somewhere, and students did as well. So for 3 years, over a full week at spring break in March, we went to the coast of Mississippi, and we partnered there with the Lutheran Disaster Emergency Response, as well as a community health center, and over the 3 years, we expanded some of the partnerships that we did. Last year, however, in the third year of that last trip to Mississippi, our numbers of participants declined. And because it's a 14-hour trip from Chapel Hill to Biloxi, we chartered a bus. And so it was fairly expensive to charter that bus, but none of us as faculty wanted the responsibility of making that drive and then working around the clock practically and then driving back. So between the expense, which we got some local grants for, and of course we, you know, did have to charge about a $200 participant trip fee, we decided that after 3 years, that would be our commitment, and that it was probably time to move a little closer to home. So last spring break was our first time to conduct a trip in North Carolina. And whereas in Mississippi, of course, a lot of what we learned had to do with the social determinants of health, we wanted to structure this trip so that clearly was the focus. And so we relied heavily on Unnatural Causes, the PBS documentary series that California Newsreel developed a couple years ago. We showed that in the evenings and also before we went, at least parts of it. So we ended up last year having 20 students, and we work with public health, social work, and physical therapy. So there's a faculty member from each of those schools. We each collectively recruit our own students. And last year we ended up with 20 of us all together, which was actually a nice sized group. When we went to Mississippi, we varied from 30 to 50. So last year was a little smaller. Of course, we weren't sure how it would go. It's a little harder to recruit to go visit your own state than it is to go to a whole other state, a whole other area where, you know, the need is a little bit more apparent. So our mission basically for this trip was that we wanted to partner with the Guilford County Health Department and Healthy Carolinians Community Assessment Committee to help conduct a needs assessment in the high poverty areas of Guilford County. And that was part of their every 4 years, Healthy Carolinians needs to conduct an in-depth community assessment. And we also wanted to partner with the Conservation Fund. So we set this up so that we were actually in two parts of the state. Again, our intent was to try to get students to see maybe parts of the state they had not seen, and an urban area and a very rural area. We also developed a very clear mission statement, visions, and a value statement, which really was talking about respecting for the communities, listening to their needs, providing high quality care, and respect for one another as well, which is important when you live in close quarters. We wanted this trip to be an immersive experience, just like the Mississippi trips had been, because we think that you learn more if you're in that very immersive kind of experience. So we traveled together and we basically lived together for that week. So I'm going to describe the first part of our trip. We left early on Monday morning around 7 o'clock, drove to about an hour and a half to Guilford County. And we had just-in-time training that was conducted by our partners there. We worked with an epidemiologist, and they assisted us with reviewing the methodology for the community assessment. They reviewed the survey tool, which was a handheld computer such that we entered the data, and it had a GPS. So this was a randomized stratified cluster survey, so we had to find exactly where the dots were and find a home closest to those dots on the GPS. And that took a little practice, especially the non-millennials like me. And we also practiced this questionnaire because it was a face-to-face survey, and we reviewed safety tips. In terms of that team of 2 to 3 people, the driver also did a healthy homes assessment of the home that we were visiting. That is based on a 10-item tool checklist of yes and no based on your observation of the home. Like, is the roof has a smile in it? Are there cracks in the foundation? Is there a lot of clutter? And that information was going to be used by a different community partner in Guilford County. And then we had a intake area, and we had very specific guidelines on checking in and checking out. So this survey was part of the Guilford County's Healthy Carolinians. They wanted to really find out what the needs of their highest risk population was. So we used the rapid needs assessment methodology, which is exactly what we did in Mississippi the very first year when we went around as part of the action report for that state. And you very rapidly do your assessment, collect the data, it gets inputted, and it can be quickly analyzed. This was a picture kind of our handheld device. I definitely had to have my reading glasses on when I was doing it, and we usually took turns. I was in a group of just me and a social work student was my team, and I was the driver. So we took turns asking the questions and the other person entering the data when we got to the household. Incentives were provided. In terms of a bag of information that had some free coupons on it, because we wanted to make sure that we weren't just taking from people, but there was some giving back for the participants on this. Here's a map just showing the high poverty areas of Guilford County. So the very dark areas are the areas that we went to. They clustered around basically High Point and then a part of Greensboro, North Carolina. And the drive from here to here was about a half hour, so the team that went here obviously got back a little later in the day. The item that we used was 49 items. It was pretty intense, I have to say. It took a good 20 minutes to actually conduct, sometimes longer based on what people told us about. And here are some of the items on there, but basically demographics, health status, health behaviors. And then also access to care, and what was really important to us was the social determinants of health. So our students really got a good understanding of at least asking questions that would help obtain information related to some of this information. And I'm sure if anybody wants this survey, I can let you know the epidemiologist, Mark Smith, in Guilford County Health Department. He would probably be willing to share it. So here's a picture of us being trained in that just-in-time training that morning. That afternoon, we actually went out in teams. We were safety purposes. It was important to be identified, and so we wore these royal blue vests. It kind of reminded us of Walmart vests, but nevertheless, they said health department on the back. We were a little concerned some people might accept us with those and others wouldn't, but at least we were recognizable, and ahead of time in the media, they had put out information that there would be teams coming, and they're gonna be wearing these vests, so don't be alarmed when we come to your neighborhood. As you can see, we visited some very poor neighborhoods. Some were totally Spanish-speaking, and so we tried to make sure we had an interpreter. At least one person in our group could speak Spanish. In terms of what we did outcome-wise, we did provide some input into the survey and methodology ahead of time. We did complete the targeted goal that Healthy Carolinians needed for statistical power, which was 210 households. And we did that in basically 2 days. So we were feeling really good. We were a little slower. We tended to talk to people a little bit more, I think. But we also completed the Healthy Home Windshield Surveys, and I'm sorry, that last bullet's completely wrong. But we basically contributed about 480 hours to the data collection phase, which was in response to what Guilford County wanted us to do. So now, these were some lessons learned identified by the students, and that they wrote this up in their reflective papers. So they came up with these without seeing any kind of analysis. This was just their analysis of the interviews that they did. So as you can see from this list, they seem to be getting that issue of social determinants of health. They identify the importance of safety of neighborhoods, access to fresh fruits and vegetables that wasn't there. They looked at playground safety. Some of these interviews we actually just did in the street because it was probably safer. And I have to say, it was the first interview I did with a drug deal going on down the street that I kind of observed from the corner of my eye. So it's eye-opening and really instructive to faculty who aren't out there as often as they would like to be. So here we are in Guilford County. This is Chapel Hill. We went here, and then we went over to Terrell County, which is one county over from the ocean. And there we partnered with the Conservation Fund. We wanted the students to get something about environment health. And they asked us to help clean up what was going to be a paddleway to improve physical activity and improve ecotourism in Terrell County. It's the most sparsely populated county, mainly older adults in that county. So what happens in storms is these crab pots that are used to collect crabs get washed ashore and they get ensnarled in the brush. And so they're a real safety hazard because, I mean, they're wire. And so we drug them out, we stomped on them, and we basically filled up two big trash bins of them. It's amazing the amount of trash. The students learned about these derelict crab pots, and actually that is the term that's used, because they do threaten marine life and certainly cause pollution and create safety risks to humans, as well as decreasing the income of the local fisheries. Then our third project was to help rehab this Rosenwald School, which was built in the early 1900s for African American children at a time when education was segregated. And this school had been built in the early 1920s by philanthropists, the owner of Sears, Roebuck and Company, as well as another philanthropist, and it just hadn't been used in a number of years. So the Conservation Fund wanted to use it as an environment center and a community center. So we helped clean it up. They have a grant. It's actually now getting more rehabbed. And following that, we had a cookout with the community members to better learn what their needs were. And based on that, we're providing our next service trip totally in this county this coming March. In terms of the reflection that our students did, that's a big part of service learning. Here are some quotes that just help exemplify how they really did get the whole idea of social determinants of health. This one wrote, "I see my patient, I'll dedicate more time to looking at the bigger picture. I'll ask about employment status, housing, nutrition, and social support, keeping in mind cost and access." A lot about approaching more holistically, taking into consideration the environment, and not just the household, but neighborhoods and communities. In terms of social justice, one person wrote, "I learned that the health disparities between even the middle class and lower classes are sad and shocking. Until now, I lived in a bubble, but basically in this country, everyone should be taken care of." So again, these were just pulled out. They weren't asked to respond. These were themes that through content analysis I pulled out. If all of us are going to be healthy, everyone has to have a chance to be healthy. Those were the words of one of the people being interviewed. And that made such an impact on that student that she was hearing it from her, and it really just helped make that connection. In terms of advocacy, it was another theme that they will basically be more involved as much as possible and try to make the whole process of health in its very broad, looking at it very broadly, very easy for them as an advocate. This experience challenged me to take a good look at the healthcare, to stop ignoring the deficits that are present in our current system. Just 1 hour down the road from my university, there are people that are concerned about the safety of their children. They do not know where they turn if they get sick. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And basically then, you know, we just need to look down the street and we would see the same thing in our neighborhood if we just look. So I basically looked at the reflective papers from those Mississippi trips, compared them with this, and I was very happy that, on the whole, the themes did compare. We didn't have to go to that exotic and faraway place in order to basically achieve the same outcomes that we wanted. So there was a lot of interdisciplinary team, the value of that came through, the need for health reform, access to care, certainly considering social determinants, and community strength. So in conclusion, immersive service learning trips are valuable, even though they might be very close to where you live. They provide a rich opportunity for academic community partnerships, and we found unnatural causes to be a very valuable teaching tool. And with that, I'm closing, because I'm out of time, and I'll be happy to answer questions after this. Okay.